Hi, good morning, everyone. Four microphones up here. I got to make sure nothing falls. Okay. You know, it's a fun game to play in your house with your kids, your grandkids. Label the hero, label the villain. Go through the stories of Torah, give out some names, and always we can figure out who's the hero, who's the villain of the story. In this past week's Parsha, it's pretty obvious. Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, heroes. When it comes to the villains, we got Paro, Yishmael, Hagar, villains. But here's the hard one. Where do I put Lot? Is Lot a hero? Is Lot a villain? Is Lot really neither at all? What I want to do today is go through the stories of Lot. I want to show you how you can actually see Lot from two completely different directions. He could be a somewhat of a hero, he could be a good guy, or he could be a really bad guy. And we really don't know which one he is. So as I go through all the stories today, I ask you, where would you put Lot? Is he on the hero column or on the villain column? Let's start at the very beginning, source number one. Lot is introduced to us by the fact that he is born to Haran, the Haran Holidet Lot. Haran is one of Avram's brothers. But then tragic occurs. Vayamar Haran al pnei terach aviv, his father Haran dies, ve'eretz moladeto, ve'or kasim, and Lot has no parents. So what happens originally, source number two, Vayikach Terach et Avram b'no ve'et Lot ben Haran ben b'no. Terach seems to adopt his grandson Haran. And when Terach changes locations to move to Haran, he takes Avram with him, Sarah with him, and takes Lot. And then at some point in the story, in this past week's Parsha, Lech Lecha, Avraham in source three, Vayikach Avram et Sarah ishto ve'et Lot ve'achiv. Avram takes his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot. In all of this, we have no idea what Lot wanted. In all of this, we have no idea if Lot wanted to go with Avraham, wanted to go with Terach, had a choice, didn't have a choice. We really know nothing about Lot. So we could look at him from two perspectives. The negative view of Lot would say he didn't have a choice. Look at the language that's used that I underlined it and bolded in source 2 and 3. Vayikach, he was taken. Very normally in Tanakh, Vayikach means by force. Just like in source 4, when Lot is taken captive in the war of 4 and 5 king, it says Vayikhu et Lot, he's taken. So put all that together, he clearly did not volunteer to be taken captive in a war. He's taken in the battle. He's taken by Abraham. He's taken by Terah. He has no choice in the matter. I give you two more psukim just as examples where Vayikach is clear that it is by force. In our parsha, when Paro and then later when Abimelech takes Sarah, Vayikach et Sarah, she did not want to go. And later when Dinah is taken by Shechem, Vayikach ota. Version one, negative Lot. He did not care for Avram's mission. He didn't care to do a lach lecha. He didn't believe in any of this, but he was taken by force. The other way to look at Lot is the exact opposite. Lot wanted to go. Lot agreed with Avraham. If God says lach lecha, we better go. How can I claim that after what I just said? If you look in the pasuk about Avram taking Lot, it says, Vayikach Avram et Sarah ishto ve'et Lot. Does anybody claim Sarah was taken by force? That Sarah didn't want to go? Further proof that there are places in Torah Vayikach does not mean by force is source number 5. This is a story of Rivka. Rivka is given a choice. Do you want to go with the servant of Abraham or do you not? And where I bolded, Vatomar Elech, I want to go. That's what Rivka says. I want to go with him. Then the pasuk writes, Vayikach ha'eved et Rivka. He takes her. So clearly that's not by force. She just said Elech. So Vayikach in Torah maybe sometimes does mean by force, but it doesn't always have to. And therefore here one can claim, Lot wanted to go. You might say to me, well, he had to go. He had no choice in the fact, where was he going? Terach and Abraham. Terach then dies is the assumption. So he had to go with Abraham. He can't live by himself. But I want to prove to you that that's absolutely not true. In source number 6, even though the psukim seem to read that way, it's very clear that Terach is still alive when Abraham makes his lech lecha for a very long period of time. If you look at source 6, it tells us, where I bolded, Terach dies when he's 205 years old. We also know from the second pasuk that Terach is 70 years old when he has Abraham. And when Abraham leaves on his lech lecha, the third pasuk, Abraham is 75. So if Terach is 70 years older than Abraham, and Abraham makes a lech lecha at 75, that makes Terach 145 at the lech lecha, which means he lives for another 60 years after Abraham leaves. So Lot had two paths, stay with his grandfather in Haran, or go with Abraham on his journey into Israel. Lot possibly chooses to go with Abraham. Chazal even takes this one step further, if you look at source 7 with me. We all know the famous pasuk, because we all know this midrash, which is not the one I'm about to quote to you, where Abram, when he goes, is the second half of the pasuk I read already, takes Sarah, takes Lot, et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan, and they take with them the people they made in Haran. And the midrash asks, why is it in plural? They made. Who's they? And we all know the famous midrash, Avram megayeret ha'anashim, v'Sarah megayeret ha'anashim. Avram and Sarah acted like a team. He converted the men, she converted the women. Look at this second version of the midrash found in Radak, source 7. Asher rachashu hu v'lot. It's in plural because it's Avram and Lot. Avram and Lot went around with the message of converting people. Not Avram and Sarah, Avram and Lot. Where I bolded again. Ki Lot haya me'amunato lefichach nitchaver imo. Lot was a believer. He was a believer in the mission. That's why he stuck with Abraham. He chose to stay. Hu gam ken korei la'anashim. He also went around telling all the people. V'marei lahem ta'amim she'ayaminu v'Hashem, giving them reasons they should believe in God. Believe in God and serve God. Don't serve these others. That's why it's in plural, because it's Avram and Lot. In the second version of looking at Lot, he's a believer. He joins Avram because he wants to join Abraham. He spreads the message of God with Abraham because he believes in it. If you continue to look through Chazal, we see this a little bit even stronger, his bond with Abraham. In source number 8 is another famous midrash, which says as follows where I bolded. Haran had Lot, and he also seems to have had two daughters, Milcah and Yiscah. According to the Gemara, Yiscah zu Sarah, Yiscah is Sarah, for the reasons that the Gemara gives, which is not our discussion. But if that is true, then Sarah is Lot's brother. So now it's not just that he's attaching himself to his uncle. He is attaching himself to his sister. He's going with this family that is really his family. He's attaching himself to his sister, his brother-in-law, who also happens to be his uncle. The Medrash takes it one step further, source number 9, and tells us, Kalasar panim domelo, Lot even looked like Abraham, just like it tells us the same thing about Abraham and Yitzchak in the second Medrash. He looked like Abraham. He had the same message as Abraham. He was related to Abraham. He chose to go with Abraham. What a beautiful second version of the beginning of the story of Lot. The story now continues to story number 2. Abraham, again in this past week's parsha, goes down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land. If you look at source 10, it does not mention Lot at all. Avram goes down to Egypt because of the famine. But it has to be that Lot is there. Why does it have to be? Because number one, ki kaved harav ba'aretz, it's a really bad famine. So if he didn't come, how did he survive? Number two, the pasuk also doesn't say that he took Sarah, but we know she's there because Paro takes her. And number 3, source 11, twice we hear about the fact that Lot leaves with Abraham. Vayal Avraham Mitzrayim Ahuvi Ishto V'chol Ashalo V'Lot Imo HaNegba. When Abraham leaves, Lot is with him. Well, clearly, if when I'm traveling home, you're with me, you must have come with me to begin with. Or secondly, the second pasuk, "V'gam lelot haholechat Abraham, who went with Abraham, hayatzon uvakar v'olim, is now rich." Because when Paro gave Avram stuff, he gave it to Lot as well. So clearly Lot was there. So if Lot was in Mitzrayim, what was his role? What do we see about Lot in Mitzrayim? If I want to look at Lot from the good perspective, from the more hero perspective, it's very obvious how it fits this story. Because Abraham, as we know, to save his own life, said, my wife is my sister, so that they wouldn't kill him, because if he was the husband, they would murder him in order to take her. What was Lot doing during that time? Doesn't tell us, right? Why? Because that's exactly what Lot was doing. He was being quiet. He wasn't blowing the whistle. He wasn't giving away the secret. He was quiet. Look at the Medrash in source number 12. Haya Lot Yodea Vishotek. He knew. He knew Avram was lying. He knew that if he told the truth, Avram would be killed. Vishotek. He chose to be quiet. He chose to save the life of Abraham. He chose to make sure that he made sure the message of God could continue and Abraham would survive. Says Abarbanel, this entire story and the fact that the pasuk says Velot imo, Lot is with him. Look at Abarbanel where I bolded, Lahagid shivcho shalot. To tell us the praise of Lot. He did good here. He stuck with Abraham, was quiet when he needed to be quiet, helped Abraham when he needed to help Abraham, Velot imo. Lot is with him. He's with him in spirit as well. If I want to see the negative, then I need to look a little bit closer. If you look at source 14, Nechama Leibowitz points out something really intelligent. She says, look at these two psukim. When Abraham and Lot are going from Haran to Israel, it says, "Vayikach Avram et Sarah ishto ve'et Lot ben achiv ve'et kol rechusham." He takes Sarah, he takes Lot, and then he takes all his stuff. When Avram is leaving Mitzrayim to go back to Eretz Yisrael, it says, "Vayal Avram Mitzrayim hu v'ishto ve'et kol asher lo ve'lot imo." She says, don't focus on the words "and Lot is with him." Focus on the order of the words. Avram took his wife, his stuff second, Lot after. Look at the quote from the Nechama Leibowitz with me, source 15. The order of words in the verse is not accidental. Changes in emphasis, approval and disapproval, and shades of meaning are not imparted in the Torah through long-winded psychological explanations or verbose analysis, but by a subtle syntactical device or seemingly insignificant but definitely unusual turn of phrase, combination or choice of words. Here's her point. When they departed from Haran, Lot was an integral part of the family, and their substance or property was evidently held in common. When they come back from Egypt, however, we are confused with the existence. Lot is no longer mentioned immediately after Sarah as part of the group family, but as someone who has attached himself to the group and accompanies them in individual capacity. Do we focus on the words Velot imo, which makes him sound good, or do we focus on where he is in the pasuk, all the way at the end, detaching himself, saying, I'm here, but I'm not really here. I don't want to be part of this family. They now return from Egypt, and everything seems to change. And here is where the question becomes even stronger. Is Lot a good character or a bad character? And what is about to occur? We all know the story in Perek Yud Gimel. We read it this week in Shul. Source number 16. They come back from Egypt. Avram is wealthy because Paro gave him a lot of stuff to thank him for originally giving him his sister, and then, of course, kicking him out afterwards when he finds out he's the husband. And the pasuk tells us, "V'gam lelot haholechat Avram hayatzonu bakar v'olim." Lot's wealthy too. "V'lo nasa otam haaretz l'shevet yachdav." They can no longer live together. "Ki hayav rechusham rav," because they have a lot of stuff. "V'lo yachlu l'shevet yachdav." Very repetitive. They couldn't be together. "Vayiriv ben roei miknei Avram ben roei miknei Lot." The shepherds are starting to fight, and therefore Avram in the next pasuk turns to Lot. "Vayoma Avram alot al na tehi meriva beini ubeinecha ben roei ben roecha." Let's not fight anymore. Ki anashim achim anachnu. We are brothers. Halo kol haaretz lefanecha. There's a whole land. We don't have to live together in one house. Hi pared na me'alai. Separate from me. You go this way, I'll go this way. Just separate from me. If we want to look for good Lot here, we say very simply, he's moving out because Avram told him to. Hi pared na me'alai. Get out. Source 17, I focus on that again, and the next pasuk, the language, vayipardu ishmael achiv, when he goes, they separated from brothers, they separated from each other as friends. They didn't separate because he was angry, because he was rejecting. He separated because Avram told him, it's time to grow up. It's time to move out. We say this to our children, one day, not yet, honey, not yet. My two children are here, not yet. One day, you say that to your kids. Source number 18, we see that by Yehuda too. Vayered Yehuda me'etachad. It was time to grow up. Time to start a family. Time to have your own house. Put your stuff in your own house. That's exactly what the pasuk was saying. They had too much stuff. Look, source 19, where I focus again. Lo nasa otam ha'aretz l'shev yachtav ki hayah rechush sham rav. They had too much stuff. That's the issue. And the fight in source 20, let's focus again. Bein roei miknei Avram, bein roei miknei Lo. They weren't fighting. The shepherds were fighting. So comes Radak in source 20 and says, what's the issue? Simple. Take the pasuk, what it says. Ki ayatzar lahem akom. The place was too small. Think about it. When they lived in that house, they didn't have a lot of wealth. They went to Egypt. They came home with tons of stuff. They couldn't fit back in that house. The pasuk says they went back to the location where they were betchila. It's the same place. So they couldn't fit in. They had too much. Avram said, you know what? You're old now. Go don't start your family anymore. Get a family. Get a life. The Ramban says a little differently. He says Avram was scared. What was Avram scared of? They came back with so much wealth. V'pachad Avram pen yishma kanani v'aprizi. The neighbors are going to hear that we are really rich now. They're either going to murder us and take our stuff, or they're just going to take our stuff. So we might as well live separate, so it's not so much wealth in one location, and save ourselves. Thirdly, it could also be, if their shepherds are fighting, then Avram is worried if it continues, we're going to start fighting. We're not fighting yet. Our shepherds are fighting. Let's separate now while we're still achim, while we're still loving each other, we're still acting like brothers. Go separate and have a new life. If this is true, it's good, Lot. He's doing what Avram told him to do. They're separating for good reasons. So here's the number one question. Why do you go to Sodom? Why do you go to Sodom? Go anywhere else. Why would you go to Sodom where the people are so evil? Well, the pasuk answers that too. Source 21, Vayisar Lot et einav vayar et kol kikar hayarden ki kula mashkeh. It's a great piece of land. Got rich soil, it's great for agriculture, it's good for my shepherds, they're not going to have issues. He chose it because what a fabulous piece of land. Why does any of us move anywhere? It's a good piece of land, we like the house, maybe we like the neighbors, I would hope, right? But it's a good place for us, it works in terms of our job, in terms of where we want to go. What about the fact that people are evil? Well, I think one can argue that living all the way in Israel, maybe he didn't know they were so evil, right? He didn't have like we have. It's not like there were telephones or Facebook or any of that stuff to know, oh, the people there are not so bad, are really pretty bad. Maybe he didn't know. But I'd like to also claim maybe he did. And if he did, maybe he went there for one of two reasons. One, source 22, Chazal tells us, lo matza makom yafeh kesedom. It really was the best place. It really was an awesome place. And maybe he thought, it won't bother me. It won't influence me. Or maybe it's the opposite. This is the Lot who partnered with Avraham to spread Shem Hashem, to spread the word of God. So where are you going to go? You're going to go to a group of people who need you to save them, who need you to spread the word of God. You're specifically going to pick evil people so that you can influence them, so you can change them, so you can fix the issues that they are having. Maybe he went there on purpose, because he wanted to continue Avram's mission. That's one version of Lot. Let's now go to the negative version of Lot. Go back to my psukim, source 23. Originally we said we leave Mitzrayim, the Lot imo, and Lot is with Avraham in mindset. But now, in this story, he pared Lot me'imo. Lot separated from with him. It means more than just physically. From him in mindset, from him in his entire mission, I'm ditching you, Abraham. I am ditching you and I am running away as far as I can go. You were chosen to go Lech Lecha to Israel, so I am running out of Israel. I want out because I do not like your mission. The reason why I see this strongly is from the repetitive language of Velo Nosa Otam Aretz Lasheva Yachtav, which I gave you again in Source 24. And the reason why the land couldn't hold them, it's not just because they had too much stuff. Because it reminds me of another pasuk, which I also gave you here in Source 24, which is the pasuk about Yaakov and Esav. And it sounds really familiar. Ki haya rechusham rav meshevet yachtav, v'lo yachla aretz migureyam laseit otam mipnei mikneihem. Sounds the same. The land is too small. It can't carry Yaakov and Esav's stuff. But you think about it, we're talking about Israel. And then Esav goes and lives in Seir, moves again to a different location. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean the land can't hold them physically. Israel has a lot of locations to live. It means they couldn't stay together so close to each other. They were so different. They were fundamentally different. Esav and Yaakov can't be together. Avram and Lot cannot be together. As opposed to the third pasuk I gave you, Avram and Yitzchak, where I bolded, Vayelchu Shneihem Yachdav. They go together. Avram and Yitzchak go together. Esav and Yaakov can't be together. Avram and Lot can't be together. It's about a mindset. It's about values. It's about mission. They were on different pages completely. The Medrash, I think, furthers my idea, though I focused before that it seems that the fight was only between the shepherds. Says the Medrash, don't be confused. Because the way that shepherds fight is only if their masters are fighting too. Source 25, Ka hayariv ben Avram v'Lot. No way, Avram and Lot were already fighting too. The famous Rashi that we all know is that Lot allowed his shepherds to steal. That's what the fighting was about. Lot was corrupt. He says, oh, you want to take some from other land? No problem. And Avram said, no way, we don't steal. It was a mindset that was completely different. Rav Hirsch, with a slightly different view, says as follows, Source 26. The land was not able to bear them remaining together. Why? Because they had too many herd and flocks, and there was not enough pasture for them? Not so, he says. I don't agree with Radak. That's not it. With a whole one herd, one concern, it would have been sufficient. It was insufficient because if one is not united, if one does not trust the other, then ohalim, separate tents, are necessary. Chests and safes and everything separate. Because in Lot's affairs, one cared only and solely for profit. But in Avram's other highest interests also came into consideration. That is why they could not remain together. That was why the land was not large enough to contain the two of them. Lot had to have his separate pasturage so that not one tiny lamb from one flock should lose itself to the other. Lot was selfish. Lot didn't want any one of his sheep to accidentally get mixed together with Avram's. It was all about his wealth. It was all about his selfishness. And then one house could never be big enough for the two of them. Lot had to leave. And the proof for this view of Lot being selfish, of Lot being corrupt, is the fact that the pasuk tells us right then and there, Source 27, Va'anshei Sidom Ra'im V'chata'im La'Hashem Ma'ot. He chooses to move to a place not just because it was a good place for agriculture, but because the people were bad, because the people were sinners. He related to them so bad that we know from a few chapters later, ki rabah hatasam ki kavdam ma'od, it's so bad that God has to wipe them all out. Rabbeinu Bachai in Source 28 says, this is on purpose. That we hear about how evil Sodom is right now. We don't kill them out for many chapters. Why do we hear it now? Lamdei kenuto shalot. To tell us something bad about Lot. Ki bacha harat harishaim. He chose to live there among wicked people. So did he choose to live in Sodom for the land? Did he choose to live in Sodom because they were wicked and he related to them? He kind of wanted to be rejecting the values and the beauty of Abraham. And picked people who were the exact opposite. selfish, not beautiful. This story, therefore, to me parallels another story in Torah, which is the story that we read on Shavuos in Megillas Rus. If you look at my chart, in Source 29, it's such a similar storyline. They both start, Vayirab Ba'aretz, there's a famine in the land, and then there is somebody who chooses to leave Israel and move to the east. We know Lot chooses to go to Sodom. Rav Yaakov Maidan in his book on Megillas Rus actually says that Moab is the land that was created in the exact spot of Sodom after it was destroyed. They both are leaving Israel to the exact location. Both of them have this fear, at least according to Chazal, of losing their wealth. It's all about being selfish. Both stories, we have one spouse who loses children, two children, and a spouse, as we'll learn about Lot in a few minutes, losing his married daughters and his wife. Both of them have two remaining daughters or daughter-in-laws at the end that they don't know how they're going to continue on the family name with. And both of them connect us to Moab. Rus, as we know, is from Moab. And Lot's grandson's son, weird, right, that he has with his daughter's name is Moab, starts the nation of Moab. These stories are so parallel. And these stories really focus on the negative side of Lot. Because Lot is similar to Elimelech here. And Elimelech is someone with potential, I think we've given a share here about Elimelech, potential for leadership, potential to help the Jewish people, and runs in the other direction. Lot could have been part of our mission. Lot possibly who could have been the chosen son of Abraham, and chooses to run away, chooses to leave, and both of them specifically choose to go to evil people. Sodom, we just said, Chataim v'ra'im, are sinners and are bad. And as we know about the people of Moab in Source 30 in Devarim, a person from Moab can never become Jewish. Why? Lo kidmu etchem belechem ubamayim b'derech b'seisem imitzrayim. Because when we passed through their land on our way to Israel, they wouldn't give us food and drink. We didn't want to fight them. We didn't want to do it. We just said, give us something to eat. Give us something to drink. And they refused. The anti-chesed, the against being nice, that's what Sodom stands for. That's what Moab stands for. And that's where both of them run to. In this parallel, Rus and Lot are opposites of each other. If you look at Source 31, they start off the same Lotimo that we keep focusing on. And Rus v'shnei kaloteha ima, the two daughter-in-law stick to Naomi. But then it changes, Source 32. Vayipardu Ishmael achiv, Lot leaves Abraham. But Rus davka ba. Both of them, Abraham says, you could go, Lot. Naomi says, leave me, Rus. But Rus davka ba, no way. I'm not listening to you. I'm staying. Your God is my God. Where you sleep, I will sleep. All those beautiful psukim. In Source 33, the language again is the flip. He pared Lot meimo. Lot separates from with Abraham. And Ruth says to Naomi, ki hamaveth yafrid beini ubeinech. Only death will do us part. Only death will separate us. And she refuses to leave. Rus stands for chesed in Source 34. Naomi says to her, Lo azav chasdo et achayim. You did not stop from all your chesed with people who are alive and people who are dead. Boaz says the same to Rus in the next pasuk. Hey, tafta chaste chachrom and arichon. Your first chesed, your second chesed, they're amazing. She stands for chesed, for kindness. Lot stands for the opposite. Lot stands for corruption. Lot stands for everything that is evil. Two totally different versions so far. Lot, who is good, who grows up, it's too much stuff, moves out, moves to a place that makes sense for him in terms of his profession, maybe wants to influence those around him, wants to be a good role model, or the Lot that moves there on purpose, to reject Abram, to reject his values, to be like the people that he's living among. Next story comes and he's captured. In the war in the 4 and 5 Kings, Source 35, Vayichu et Lot, ben achi Abraham, the nephew of Lot is taken. We all know Abram gets involved in the war. The war turns all the way on its head. Instead of the 4 kings winning, the 5 kings win. The result as well is the next pasuk. Vayishav et kol ha-rechush v'gam et Lot achiv. All of the things that were taken are returned, including Lot. In the story of good Lot goes home. Why? Lot goes home because Abram told him to grow up and have a home. So he gets into trouble. His uncle comes to save him. He says, thank you, uncle. Thank you for saving me. And I go back to the life I had before. Nothing negative. It's kind of neutral. In the story of Bad Lot, this is the ultimate rejection. Here comes Abraham to save his nephew, to give him another chance to rejoin his home, rejoin his values, to leave the people of Sodom, and Lot rejects his uncle again. You see it hidden in the language by the perspective of the two psukim I just read to you. In Lot's perspective, he's Ben Achi Abraham. He's his nephew. There's a distance. In Abraham's perspective, when he goes and fights on his behalf, it's Lot Achiv. It's Lot, his brother. There's a connection. Lot rejects Abraham once again. And the reason we see this so strongly is because of Source 36. Only now, after Lot goes back home and rejects Abraham a second time, does Abraham lose it. In Source 36, he screams to God, Mati tenli, va'anofi holech hariri, ben damesek beitu damesek aliyazar. He says, you never gave me a child. I have nothing. You keep saying, you'll be the chosen nation. You'll be so many like the star. I got nothing. Why does he react here? Because in his mind, he still had Lot. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Damesek Beiti means Lot. He thought he still had Lot. He'll come back. We never give up on our children. He'll come back. But when he rejects Avram now a second time, Avram realizes he's gone. He's not coming back. Lot has rejected him. This is the end of the story of Lot. Let's move to the story in Sodom itself. Looking at Lot from very different perspectives. If we want to see good Lot, we're going to focus on the Lot who sounds a lot like Abraham. As we all know, angels come to Lot's door to tell him that Sodom is going to be destroyed and that he better escape. If you look at my chart in Source 37, you can look at all the similarities in the Hebrew language. I'm going to focus, because we have very little time, on just the English. How they do the same actions. He clearly learned from Abraham. He waits outside for guests. He's in the shower of the city. He runs towards them. He bows to them. He says, please stay. He washes their feet. He feeds them. He's good to his guests. He clearly has the values of Abraham. And therefore, we can look at Lot as living in Sodom with the good values, trying to influence those around him. He learned it from Abraham. Source 38, the Medrash Tanchuma, says it so beautifully. Lefisha gadal beitol shel Avram, he grew up in Avram's home. V'ra'u mekabel ovrim mishavim, lamad mimenu, and he saw Avram always taking in people who were coming. He learned. Lefichach hechnis hamalachim atzlo, so he invited the malachim in. It was part of his nature. This is how I was brought up. I didn't reject Avram's values. I keep his values. I'm doing the same thing. He then risks his life when the people come begging on the door, give us your guests. Lot goes outside. He doesn't lock himself in and say, don't take me. He goes outside. He tries to calm them down. Don't sin to God, he says to them. Be good. It doesn't work so well, but he tries. He's trying to influence everyone. And if this is the picture of Lot, it may be a little weird when he starts offering off his family members instead, but in some ways, though bad Lot's going to be easier for that one, we see a little bit of a weird perspective of him, but he's trying. I'm trying to protect my guests. Whether he would have really given his daughters or not to me is unclear, because they're locked inside the house. He's the one at risk, standing outside. But what we see from here is, why is Lot saved twice? Why is he saved in the war in 4 and 5 Kings? Why is he saved from the destruction of Sodom? It must be he's a good guy. Just like we know in Source 39, why is Noah saved from the destruction of the world? Noah ish tzaddik, he was righteous. You're saved if you're righteous, if you deserve it. Lot must have been too. So if that's true, then I start to feel bad for Lot. Because he's not a bad guy, he's a good guy. He's trying. He's trying to share his values. But it's just not working for him. The people around him aren't listening. And then his daughters don't listen to him when he begs them, come with me. And his wife turns around and dies on the way. I feel bad for Lot. He loses his whole family. But now let's shift gears once again. Let's look at the story from the other perspective. Even though it is true he invites in guests, if you compare the story of Avram and the story of Lot, he's one step lower than Avram every step of the way. Number one, we know the story of Avram inviting in guests. He just had a bris milah. He's sitting outside kechom hayom in the heat of the day. Avram goes out of his way to make sure those guests are coming to his home. In source 40, even the language you see is different. You see, Avram says to the guests, "Im na matzatichin ve'inecha, if I find favor in your eyes, do me a favor. Do it for me. Come to my house. You'll be doing me a favor." Not like Lot, who says in the next pasuk, "If you need to sleep, if you would like to wash your feet, if you would like some food, for you, I'll let you in." It's a different level of inviting in guests. Source 41, the comparison of the food that Avram prepared for his guests versus Lot is just a tremendous difference. Avram went out of his way making cakes, bringing butter, and all these types of things that he brought, and slaughtering animals for this tremendous feast. Lot, not as much. Also, obviously, within this story of offering his daughters in order to save his guests, as we said, is really kind of warped perspective. If we're looking for evil Lot, if we're looking to find flaw in Lot, we have to obviously bring that up. A father who's trying to instill good values in his daughters are not going to then say, "Here, take my daughters. I don't really care about them." If we look at the pasuk in source 42, further support for the evil Lot idea is in the fact that you're right, Lot was saved. But why was Lot saved? The pasuk says, "Vayeskor Elokim et Avram, vayishalach et Lot." It's because God remembered Abraham. It was for Abraham's sake that he remembered Lot, not Lot's sake. Lot is not Ish Tzadik. It's Abraham who's Ish Tzadik, who's righteous, and therefore he's the reason why he is saved. And I think what's interesting is when you look at Lot's family, you can even more so have proof of the evilness of Lot, because his family is completely corrupt, especially in the eyes of Chazal. If you take his daughters who are married and look at source 43, when Lot comes to speak to them to tell them that Sodom is going to be destroyed, Vayetze Lot Vaydaber Achotnav, he tells his son-in-laws what's going to be. Vayehi kemitzachek ve'enei chatnav, he was a joke in their eyes. That's insulting. If you respected someone, you would at least take them seriously. You might at least say, "Okay, you know, I'll take a walk today outside of Sodom just in case." He was a joke in their eyes. They clearly had zero respect for their father-in-law, and they don't leave. They all die because they don't have any respect for him. His wife as well, we all know source 44, she turns around, and when she turns around, whatever this means, Vatehi Netziv Malach, she dies, she turns into a pillar of salt, not entirely sure. But says Chazal, she deserved it. She deserved it because she was evil. Lot chose to marry an evil woman. Source 45, she's Mibnot Sodom. She is someone who was a native in the land. He married a woman from Sodom. Very parallel to Mahlon and Kilion in our Ruth story, marrying women from Moab. She also has the values of Sodom, source 46 and 47. Source 46 tells us why is it that he almost couldn't even get the guests into his house because his wife wouldn't let them in. No way, she said, "You can't invite guests. That's not what we do here." He had to sneak them in the side entrance where she couldn't stop him. Source 47, the famous midrash, how did the neighbors know that he even had guests? Because the wife went to the neighbor and said, "Can I borrow some salt?" And they said, "What do you need salt for?" She says, "Well, we don't really need it, but our guests need it." And now they knew there were guests. She causes the whole problem. Says Rashi, b'melech chatam, in source 47, u'b'melech lachta. She sinned with the salt, so she's punished with the salt. Lot has an evil family. One can say perhaps it's because his values were evil. Now they escape from Sodom. He's left with his two single daughters. And I would say the evil values of Lot and his family comes to the epitome, the top of disgusting. Source 48, his two youngest daughters get him drunk and they sleep with him. And they have children with him. And they are not embarrassed. Moab, Me'av, this child is from my father. Disgusting! This is the same daughters that he says, throw that out. So they treat him the same way. This is the morals of the family. Bad Lot is just in your face in this story. So how do I turn it around? Where do we get good Lot from? Look back at the psukim again, source 49, I gave it to you. They get him drunk. Batishkana gambalaila hahu, twice they get him drunk. And the pasuk says, v'lo yada b'shechvav koma. Yes, they were evil. Yes, they had bad morals. But he was not aware at all of what was going on. He didn't know anything. He was so drunk. He didn't know getting up, going down. He didn't know a thing. He was totally out. To me, this idea parallels the Noah story so well, and that's really, really fascinating. If you think about it, both of them, after their ordeal, get drunk as like a relief from their Savior, as a relief to their story, and they get abused by their own child, both of them. In Source 50, we see Noah, Vayesh min hayayin v'sechar, he gets drunk too, and something happens with his son, Cham. Vayakatz Noach me'ino, when he wakes up, he's no longer drunk anymore. Vayedat asher asalo benar katan. He knows what that younger son did. He knows what went on. And it's true, the pasuk only seems to describe Cham laughing at his father. But the reason why Chazal assumes something sexual went on is for the following two reasons. Number one, the curse he gives him is horrible. Source 51, Arur Kenan Eved Abadim Yelecha, I curse you, for your whole generations you will be servants. I mean, for laughing at your father, that is a little bit harsh. It would sound like a little more happened. And the language Vayada in Tanakh has sexual in nature. Vayada Kayin es Ishto, Source 42. Vayada Adam Odes Ishto. The word Vayada often means to know someone in a sexual way. Vayada Elkana Etchane Ishto. All of these clearly mean a sexual relationship as a child is born. The Gemara comes to this assumption, something sexual happened, they castrated him, they did something in Source 53. So both of them have such similar storylines, and I charted it for you in Source 54. Both of them are the sole survivors of the world that is being destroyed. Noah, it's the entire world. Lot, it is the land of Sodom, but they perceive it as the whole world. As the daughters say, we think we're the only ones left alive. Both of them, someone is remembered, and then they are saved. Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, and then he tells him, you can get out of the Teva, you can get out of the ark. Vayizkor Elokim et Avram, and Lot is saved from the destruction. Both get drunk afterwards, both get violated when they are drunk, both have negativity coming from them, Kenan, Mitzrayim, Cham, all from Noach. From Lot, we have Ammon, we have Moab, and both of them, as we'll discuss now, don't influence anyone. What's interesting about both of them is that clearly they are both saved. And we know Noach is virtuous, that's for sure, which is different than what we know about Lot. But what I think is so interesting is the ending sentence that I said. Whether we look at Lot in a positive light or a negative light, there's an obvious point here that we need to blame even both of them for. Noach built a teva for over 100 years. Every day people said, what are you building it for? And he said, God's going to destroy the world because you guys are so bad. You'd think there'd be a tshuva movement. You'd think there would be people saying, let me repent. Yonah says Nineveh is going to be destroyed and everybody's repenting. Noah, not one extra person gets on that ark. Not one extra, just his family. When it comes to Lot 2, we have a very similar story. Lot survives, nobody else. And it's the opposite of everything he learned from his father. Source 55, everything we know about Abraham, you could call him his adopted father, his uncle, possibly his brother-in-law, whatever you want to call Abraham. He grew up in his home, a home that's entire point is Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. We influence the world. We go around the world and we make sure everyone knows God is God. One should leave their idols and they should serve God. That was the message of Abraham and what Lot grew up hearing about. Noah does not convince anyone on that teva. But Noah, on the other hand, does have two righteous children, Shem and Yafet. Noah does have a righteous wife, at least according to Chazal. We don't know her in the Psukim. But in Chazal, Source 56, we hear of a woman in the Pasuk named Na'amah. So the Chazal assumes, Breishit Rabbah, this must be the wife of Noah. Why do we call her Na'amah? Shehayu ma'aseha ni'imim. Because she had good deeds. She was a good person. Lot is much worse. Lot's got nobody good. Nobody at all. So bad that his wife is evil. His daughters are evil. His son-in-laws are evil. Everybody is bad. And here's what I find so fascinating. Source 57, this is a story that I never really understood until now. Avram tries to save Sodom. And when he tries to save Sodom, he does it with a logical argument. God, will you kill a tzaddik with a rasha? And God says no. Well, he says, okay, 50 tzaddikim. It's like a negotiation. We're selling, right? 50 tzaddikim in Sodom. Would you destroy? No, but there are. Okay, 40 tzaddikim. No. 30, 20, 10. Why is Avram doing this? I'll tell you why. Because my nephew's been living in Sodom for all these years. Of course he influenced 10 people. I'm assuming he influenced 50 people. But if you tell me he didn't, it must be 40. It must be 30. It must be 20. It must be 10. I trained him to influence people. How is it possible you can't find me 10 tzaddikim in Sodom? And the answer is because whether or not we look at Lot as good or bad, Lot failed. Lot failed to influence anyone. So here we conclude with two very different versions of how to look at Lot. Lot is evil from the beginning to the end. And when you play your game with your children, villains versus heroes in Torah, you're going to make him a villain. Because from the beginning, he only was with Avram because he had to. He then rejected Avram's values the minute he was old enough to escape. He went to a place of evil people because he related to them. You are chataim, so am I. You are ra'im, so am I. I belong here. This is exactly where I should be. I grew up under the influence of Abraham, and it was very hard for me. I had to follow him when God was telling him to do crazy things, and I didn't believe in it at all. I reject it all, and I'm moving to Sodom, out of Israel, away from my uncle. And even if he saves me, I'm still going to turn my back on him. I'm still going to walk away. I'm going to marry into these people. I'm going to raise these evil children because this is my value, so this is what I'm giving over. My grandchildren are going to be evil, Ammon and Moab, who don't help the Jewish people. This is the story of Lot with one flicker of good. When the angels come, he invites them in. There's like a memory from the past of Abraham for a moment, and he does something good. But then everything after that is just bad. Everything after that, what he does with his daughters, when he sends out the daughters, when maybe his daughters even rape him, all of that is just bad. And Lot is evil, and therefore we don't care so much for Lot. He's an evil character. Or is it the opposite? Lot is a good character. He's not amazing. I wouldn't put him under a hero character. Put him somewhere in the middle. He's a good character. He grew up in Abram's home. He learned a lot from Abraham. He liked living with Abraham. At some point, it was time to move on. At some point, it was time to move out. So he does. And when he moves out, possibly he chooses a place because it's good for his profession, or maybe because these people are going to be good for him to shine a light on them. But he fails miserably by doing that. So when he can, and he invites in guests, he can. And when he tries, but he can't pass on these values to his family because he's surrounded by people with bad values. And they get those bad values from everyone around him, and he can't fight those people around him. And he can't influence not one person, not even his wife, not even his own children. And the end result of Lot is tragic, is sad, as he loses his wife, he loses two of his daughters, and ends up fathering his grandchildren. That's Lot. But the message for us of Lot, I think, is very, very strong. Because the message of Lot is what happens when you don't influence a single person. What happens when you can't give over your message or your views or anything that you believe in to another human being? You know what happens? You're just forgotten. You're just a nobody. You know, if I ask you in the beginning, is he good or bad? We think because we're not sure because we don't really give him much thought. Why don't we give him thought? Because he didn't impact anyone. He didn't accomplish anything. And therefore, I think the message of Lot, when we think about Lot, is I still have no idea. Lot was good. Lot was bad. He's somewhere in the middle. Maybe one day he was good, one day he was bad. I have no idea. But what I do know is here is someone who had such an opportunity. He grew up with the best role model you could possibly have. Could you imagine growing up with an Avram as a father and Sarah as a mother? You could have had Yitzchak as a brother. And he does not take that opportunity and use it to his ability. He rejects it, throws it to the side. He is not able to take that message of Abraham, of spreading Shem Hashem. He isn't able to do it. And I think for us, the message to take away, it's a strong one, is in our lives we need to make an impact. We need to make sure that we make an imprint on the world. We need to make sure that when we're done here, we are remembered. And we are remembered on the hero side and not on the villain side. We want to make an imprint on the world. We want to copy Avram spreading Shem Hashem. And we do not want to be like Lot. Whether he was good or whether he wasn't good, he influenced no one. And therefore, he's not a hero. And we all would like to be heroes. Thank you very much.